Today, we are observing the most blessed event of the Vyas Puja, of His Divine Grace, Srila Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. The founder and charge of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and the ever well wishing of all living beings. Srila Prabhupada, each letter and answer or write to his disciples, he would end it, "Your ever well wisher." We have so many well wishers in this world, but in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Kapila Dev describes that really our only friend is Krishna. Our only real well-wisher is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because a friend is one who is there at the time of need. And a friend is one who has the capacity to help you, to save you in that time of need. The great time of need in all of our lives is at the time of death. And factually, only Krishna can protect us. Only Krishna can act as our friend at the time of death. As we read in the story of Gajendra the elephant, when the dangers and fears of material existence come upon us, our family members, our so-called acquaintance friends in this world, our business associates, our society, they can do nothing to help us. It is only Krishna that is our real true friend. It is described in the Bhagavad Gita that one attains real peace when he knows that Krishna is the well-wishing friend of all living beings. And one who is acting on behalf of Krishna, one who is surrendered to the mission of Krishna, he is none different than Krishna in that the mercy of Krishna is being channeled through him into our lives. Therefore, those great souls who have given up, sacrificed everything of this world in the compassionate mission of the Lord, they are, in fact, our only real and true friends. It is the greatest delusion to consider otherwise. We have so many attachments, we have so many sentimental relationships in this world, but one who is in knowledge of the truth is fully cognizant that the only real and true friends I have are Krishna and his pure devotees. So Srila Prabhupada, he was in truth our ever well wisher. He was in truth our real friend. When we address him as his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada described, it was not his divine grace. There is only one divine grace, and that is the divine grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. One who is a bona fide spiritual master never ever considers that he has any mercy or grace to give to anyone. But rather, the bona fide spiritual master is fully cognizant that the divine grace of Krishna is so powerful, so magnificent, that even a drop of it can deliver every living entity in this world, in the entire creation. So the spiritual master, like the mailman, is simply delivering intact the divine grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. And the spiritual master, he is truly our friend because he is willing to sacrifice his life to uplift another. In this world, someone appears to be your friend as long as it is convenient. But who is willing to give their life for your spiritual welfare? If you find such a person, that person is Guru. And Srila Prabhupada, as we have just read, he manifested in the most apparent way, day after day, minute after minute, how much, without any discrimination, he truly was concerned with the spiritual welfare of mankind. When he suffered two heart attacks, coming to a country where he knew nobody, and when he arrived and saw the utterly unpalatable, sinful nature of the city of New York, it would have been very easy for him to turn back to Vrindavan. You know, there are many Babajis who are factually pure devotees of the Lord who are living in Vrindavan. And their idea is they cannot tolerate to see the face of materialistic people. It is simply a great disturbance for them. Therefore, they never leave Vrindavan Dham. But rather, they feel that if Krishna wants to send someone, then he will send them. But we have our bhajan, we have our kirtan, we have the holy Dham. But Srila Prabhupada left the beautiful abode of Vrindavan because he loved every living being in the same way that God loves us. Just as God, Krishna, was willing to descend from his eternal abode into this world out of love, so similarly, Srila Prabhupada descended from the abode of Vrindavan into the most hellish condition of material society, New York City, and the most hellish place in New York City, the Lower East Side, out of love. Love for people he did not even know. It's easy to love your own family members. It's easy to love your own friends. But who is it that is willing to sacrifice their life and experience the most inconceivable inconveniences for people that he has never seen or heard of before, out of love. The spiritual master, his love is like the sun. It shines for everyone without discrimination. And you see, Srila Prabhupada, his love was great because without discrimination it was for everyone. Whoever would come before him was qualified for his causeless mercy. But at the same time, his love was so personal. However great he became, he saw to the personal needs of every living being who would take shelter of him. This is an inconceivable miracle. Some gurus, they perform mystic miracles. But the miracle of love that Srila Prabhupada displayed was unlimitedly greater than all the miracles of the magical gurus of today. There are many examples of how Srila Prabhupada would do anything and say anything, would go to such extents to encourage even the most insignificant person in their Krishna consciousness. Recently, I was with one of Prabhupada's disciples, and he explained to me that he was at the Mayapur festival on Lord Chaitanya's appearance day, and it was on Gaur Purnima day, and there were thousands of devotees who came to Mayapur. And most all of them, they came to Mayapur only for one purpose: to see Srila Prabhupada. 99% of the devotees, they came only because Prabhupada was there, to see him, to hear him, to glorify him. So it is described by this devotee that it was during the Guru Puja ceremony, and the large-sized temple hall was filled with devotees. And every one of them, their hearts, their minds, their senses were intensely focused on Srila Prabhupada alone. And the best kirtan leader in all of the Hare Krishna movement was chanting kirtan. There were so many mridangas and so many kartals, and everyone was, with love in their eyes, looking at Prabhupada dancing in ecstasy and such joy. At the same time, they were showering Srila Prabhupada with garlands. They were putting so many garlands on Prabhupada that he had to take them off just to be seen. And there was arti being offered to him. In this way, Srila Prabhupada was being glorified from the core of the hearts of thousands of people. And he was sitting on his vyasasan, accepting the puja, not for himself, but on behalf of Krishna. Srila Prabhupada used to tell us that the spiritual master, he said, his Guru Maharaj, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, he used to say when he was sitting on a vyasasan, he felt like a dog sitting on a throne. He was simply accepting that position as an act of humble service to his disciples. Not for a second did he consider that he was being glorified. But he was considering that his Guru Maharaj and Krishna was being glorified. And as a humble service to his disciples, he was simply accepting it on their behalf. So as Prabhupada was in this situation, thousands of devotees dancing and chanting, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, with mridangas and cymbals playing in his honor, arti being offered to him, sandalwood being put on his head, garland after garland after garland putting around his neck. Srila Prabhupada saw this one disciple had a bandage on his foot. So while everyone was chanting his glories, Prabhupada called his disciple over. He said, "What is wrong with your foot?" He said, "I have an infection, Prabhupada, on my foot." He said, "Ah, do you have proper medicine? You should go to doctor. Do you have money for doctor? I will give you money for doctor." Prabhupada reached in his dhoti and got some money and said, "Here, you take this, you go to doctor. You must take care of your foot." So while the whole world is glorifying Prabhupada, he was simply concerned with one of his disciples' foot. For 5 minutes he was talking to his disciple during Guru Puja about how he should take care of his foot. You see, Srila Prabhupada, because he was a genuine acharya, a servant of Krishna and a servant of all living beings, he never considered his own position of any importance. He always considered himself the father and the servant of each and every one of his disciples personally. And it was this love of Srila Prabhupada that encouraged so many devotees to want to sacrifice their life in his service. I remember in my own example, when I was living in Vrindavan, the Hare Krishna devotees came with Srila Prabhupada. And each and every devotee was criticizing me for being in Vrindavan. "You should be traveling, you should be preaching. This is not right." I wasn't even Prabhupada's disciple, but they were criticizing me and preaching to me. And one day, I was standing in a garden. There was hundreds and hundreds of people in that garden. And Srila Prabhupada walked right up to me. I bowed down. He asked if I liked Vrindavan. I said, "Very much, Srila Prabhupada." He said, "Oh, you are very fortunate." He said, "Vrindavan is such a nice place. It is very nice that you are staying here." Huh? Now Srila Prabhupada knew that I should be out preaching. But he personally came just to encourage my spiritual life. Just to show me that he was concerned with my life. There's another story of one lady. This was in New York. She was just coming to the temple, thinking of becoming a devotee. She used to put all sorts of cosmetics and a very expensive hairstyle she would have. And all the devotees were criticizing her. This is the bodily concept. You spend so much money on your hair. You spend so much money on cosmetics. This is bodily concept of life. And she was so discouraged, she decided, these people are just harassing me so much, I'm never going to come back to this Hare Krishna movement again. But Prabhupada came. So she said, I'll go to see their guru. But then I'm never going to come back again. So she came in Prabhupada's room, and the first thing Prabhupada said to her when she came in the room, she said, oh, you are looking very beautiful with your nice hair, and how nicely you decorate yourself. I am very pleased to see your beauty. And her heart melted, completely melted. She knew she was on the bodily concept of life. But when she saw that Prabhupada so lovingly told her like this, the next day, she combed down her hair and put on a sari and surrendered. Prabhupada was not self-righteous, because Prabhupada was motivated by love. Prabhupada was the ever-well-wisher of everyone who simply allowed him to be their friend. Prabhupada would do anything or say anything. He would give his life to help any individual person to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Although Prabhupada was a world acharya, as was described by many devotees, he opened 120 temples. He traveled around the world preaching to chiefs of state, preaching to college students, preaching to masses of tens and thousands at a time. Wherever he would go, there would be hundreds of people just struggling to get one grain of dust from his lotus feet. Yet in such a situation, Srila Prabhupada remained more simple than any of his disciples, more simple than any man anyone had ever seen. How was he simple? In that even when he was in a mass of 10,000 people, he would see every person as an individual spirit soul. And in the attitude of genuine loving service, he was very much thinking in terms of how this person can come closer to Krishna. Sometimes, you know, institutions are very sweet when they are small, but when they become big, they become very impersonal. We have seen. But Srila Prabhupada, the bigger he got, the more personal he became. Because his love was based on a spiritual principle. It was this quality of Srila Prabhupada that saved my life. If Srila Prabhupada was not like that, so much personally concerned with every living being, I would be in hell. When I was traveling through India, meeting so many gurus, so many sadhus, so many acharyas, I was learning so much. But it was here in Bombay, at the first Pando program, There was tens and thousands of people in the audience the first evening to hear Srila Prabhupada speak. And I, coming down from Himalayas, had long matted hair, dirty clothes from the river. I was nothing, the most insignificant. And I was in the center of the whole crowd. And somehow or other, what miracle Srila Prabhupada performed, only Krishna could understand. Perhaps one of the devotees who met me in the day told Srila Prabhupada that there was one boy who was seemed to be a little interested. I will never know. But one of the devotees was looking for me and found me in the middle of the crowd and told me, Srila Prabhupada wants you to sit next to him on this stage. I had never seen Prabhupada before, and I had never heard him before. And when I came on the stage, Prabhupada personally asked me to sit right at his feet. He patted me on the head. He said, you sit here every day. And his glances, his smiles, his words made me know that here is a person that really and truly and deeply wants me to love Krishna. Here is a person that is so personal that in the face of tens and thousands of people, if he saw just seeing a spark of interest in any one person, willing to go out of his way just to encourage that person to be Krishna's devotee. Srila Prabhupada was indeed the ever-well-wisher of all living beings. He sacrificed everything. He endured so much mental and physical torture to bring us Krishna consciousness. And if he was not as he was, and uniquely, he was the only person in the creation with this quality of love, then we would all be in the most hopeless, hellish condition of existence. I remember on the appearance day of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Srila Prabhupada was describing how his Guru Maharaj saved him. And he was describing the mission of his Guru. And he was pleading with all of his disciples, kindly help in this mission. So similarly, we are describing the most glorious mission of Srila Prabhupada. The self-sacrifice that he accepted for you and me. And the only request that he had of any of us was that we assist him in giving this same mercy to more and more and more and more and more conditioned souls. Srila Prabhupada, what he endured An ordinary person would accept something in return, expect something in return. But Srila Prabhupada wanted nothing for himself. He never asked anything of himself. The debt that you have for me, he would say, can only be repaid by giving what I have given you without discrimination to whoever you meet. So Srila Prabhupada has given us this mission. Personally, this is my debt. And because Srila Prabhupada is my life and soul, therefore this debt is my life and soul. And that debt, Srila Prabhupada said, is what I have done for you, you do for others. So our humble request is a sadhu, is a beggar by nature, begging for the mercy of Krishna, begging for the mercy of Guru. So we are begging each and every one of you today. We are not begging a congregation, we are begging each individual in this room today to help us repay the debt that we owe to our spiritual master. Make sacrifice to personally show concern for others' spiritual lives and assist in spreading the mercy of Srila Prabhupada everywhere possible. Become an empowered instrument in the hands of your guru. And then we can make, if we make this resolution in our minds today, there is no greater offering to please the lotus feet of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnupad Paramahansa, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, than this. Let this be our offering. Let us glorify Srila Prabhupada through this great sacrifice. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.